Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago without a live studio audience. But nevertheless, a very special podcast ahead. We have a lot to get to. And before I go any further, I would like everyone to know, I know you've all had this on your calendars. This is officially the beginning of the seventh season of Monday Motivation. It is hard to believe that we have finished six entire full cycles of Monday Motivation. Monday Motivation started, I have to give a huge shout out to Yonas Khan, a dear Talmud student who was raising a beautiful Jewish family of his own in New York. And he told me, Rebbe, in the only way, inimical way that Jonas could do. You got to get with it, Rabbi. You got to do a podcast. You got to get your word out there. You got to be teaching Torah in a way that people can hear it. A lot of people are on podcasts. And I could tell you thousands and thousands of listens later and so many wonderful emails and texts and WhatsApps of feedback about, thank God, the impact of this podcast. It makes me incredibly, incredibly proud. It's fully ensconced in the family routine. The Sunday night, everyone knows, you know, basically either Abba's got to go downstairs or everyone's got to be quiet. For the recording of the podcast, it's become part of our family, part of our Olami 613 family, and part of the Monday Motivation with Rabbi Garfinkel podcast family. So I want to thank each and every one of you. And the greatest thing you could do for me is to like it, subscribe to the podcast if you listen occasionally. Like it, subscribe it so it'll come up automatically. And as well, share it. Share it with three friends. Share it with three friends. I think these are messages that need to go out. These are messages of vital importance, especially, God willing, what we're going to share tonight about Jews in exile and the continuing captivity. So thank you all very, very, very much. On the Olami 613 front, we had an incredible Shabbaton in Denver, Colorado. This is really proof of concept. This is one of the major reasons why we rebranded from Project 613 to Olami 613 is this incredible network of young professional organizations from St. Louis and Houston and LA and Denver and fill in the blank of incredible organizations that all coming together for an incredible Shabbaton. And when our young professionals see that, you know, they're not alone. There are other young professionals all over America who are getting into Shabbos, who are getting into Torah learning, who are getting into doing these amazing Jewish trips, then it makes our job so much easier because it's the cool thing to do. So we had an incredible Shabbaton in Denver. I want to give a shout out to Rabbi and Rebbetzin Danny Wolf in Denver, of Olami Denver. It was absolutely incredible Shabbaton. And our 11 participants had an incredible time. All right. And so now we are the beginning of November. We have an off-cycle election coming up on Tuesday, but an election in New York City that has captured the hearts and minds of Jews all over the world. And what I'd like to do is to start with an absolutely incredible story. Ready for story time? A poignant story, a powerful story, and a bittersweet story. And this story happens way long ago in World War I. And this story is brought to you by Rabbi Gedalia Silverstone, a Lithuanian Orthodox immigrant rabbi, on a speech and a rally on October 24th, 1914, on behalf of the Jewish victims of World War One. All right. Must have been at the beginning of the war. Okay. And he brings a story that happened, the testimony of a Jewish soldier convalescing, that's a fancy word for getting better, healing, in a Russian army hospital in Petrograd. Okay, quote, listen to this. Whose heart did not throb with agony? Whose eyes did not fill with tears? Whose blood did not turn cold in his veins upon reading in the newspapers about a Jewish soldier in the Russian army who stabbed with his bayonet a soldier from the Austrian army? The mortally wounded man cried out with his last breath, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And with the word Echad, his soul departed. When the Russian Jewish soldier realized that he had killed one of his brothers, that he had thrust his bayonet into a fellow Jew, he went out of his mind with grief. So this is a crazy story here. This is the story of Jews in exile. Jews in exile during World War One, not the first time. Sadly, as Jews the last 2,000 years have been in exile in different countries, have been conscripted into different armies, and this is a case where a Jew was doing his national duty, his duty for his quote-unquote country, and yet killing a fellow Jew who happened to be wearing the uniform of another country. Now, why do I bring that story? Because, folks, that is where we are today. There are many, many, many Jews out there today who put on the uniform of their country, of their political party, of their social circles, of any possible layer of social, political identity before they put on their uniform as a Jew. I'd like to explain an idea now and then bring it back to Jewish identity and the upcoming elections of New York City. So we just had, as we've talked about in the last few podcasts, probably one of those miraculous events of modern Jewish history with the release of the hostages. I still am absolutely baffled, guffawed, overawed with the incredible release of these last 20 hostages alive by Hamas. It is clearly a demonstration of God's authority in the world. There is no rational explanation. I've heard all of them. None of them make sense to me why Hamas would have done such a thing to release their last bargaining chips. It makes zero political sense, no matter how many arguments you say. And we shared before the concept of what is exile. Why does Hashem, 2,000 years ago, kick us out of the land of Israel? And the idea of exile is as follows, is that when we are not getting along at home and we don't appreciate each other and the values for which bind us and unite us as a nation, then Hashem says, okay, you're not playing nicely in the sandbox, then you have to leave the sandbox. And we have left the sandbox of Israel for 2,000 years. But it's not random. And wherever we go in our exile, it is an illustration of the mistakes that we made to be kicked out on live screen. So for example, when the Jews were excessively into physical things and not enough into spiritual things, comes along Babylonia, and we're taken back to Babylonia, which is a very physical-oriented society, a very indulgent society. And when we were engaging in philosophical things to the exclusion of Torah, and we were not serving God in the way that we should have because of an intellectual distraction, come along the fancy Greeks with their high philosophy, and we were sent into exile, to the Greek exile. And so each exile that we're sent into is our issue that we need to work on, broadcast on the big screen. And so I've said before, and I want to reiterate, that the hostage situation for 2 years was Hashem broadcasting to us around the world, to the Jewish people, you have a captivity issue. There's a captivity issue. And for 2 years, we prayed for the captives in Gaza, for those kidnapped brutally and kept away from their families to be returned. And I had hoped, and others had hoped, that when we would see and daven and pray and rally and do whatever we can for those hostages, it would possibly, and dare say, hopefully, lead to us recognizing our own captivity, that we, American Jews, have been taken captive by the culture. Hashem is saying there were, and now not any longer, hundreds of captives in Gaza. And you have to have captivity in your mind. And now that these final hostages, the live ones, are out, God willing, the rest of those who were killed, who were murdered, will be returned as well. But that lesson is no longer there anymore. And my prayers were before the release, Hashem, release the physically captive Jews in Gaza and also release the spiritually captive Jews in America. And I'm going to get to that point in a moment. But now my prayer is, Hashem, just as you have redeemed, and brought out those captives from Gaza, so too will you redeem and take out of the spiritual and emotional captivity those Jews in America and around the world. We no longer have that reminder. And that's what makes me nervous. Because folks, we are captives. American Jewish community has for the last 80 years based itself on one ridiculous slogan. Never again. Never again. Never again. We're not going to have Hitler ever again. Never again. Never again. And so what were we expecting? Were we expecting Hitler to come back from the dead and march down the street with his brown shirts and police? And then we'd say, oh yeah, never again? Did we really think it was going to take the same shape, form? Really? Well, the problem was we relied on these silly platitudes and epithets, never again. But we lost the moral education that would help us identify who is the next enemy of the Jewish people. And so you have Jews who don't like the president. And when he bombs Iran's nuclear facilities, they cannot say thank you. They missed the whole point. The last 80 years, never again, never again, never again. And we had a never again moment. They can't even say thank you because they are politically kidnapped. They are emotionally captive by a uniform that's not Jewish first. And that brings us now to the elections on Tuesday, where I am scratching my head in utter disbelief that up to 40% of New York Jews are going to vote for Mr. Mamdani, who has said clearly everything that we need to know. If there is a never again moment, this is it. And yet, up to 40%, I saw even one poll, 43% of New York Jews are going to vote for him. And the question is, why? Why? Because they're captive. They're kidnapped. Because they have an identity of fill in the blank before their Jewish identity. How do you get 40, 3% of Jews voting for someone who vilifies Israel, who's promised to arrest the Prime Minister of Israel, who says that when the boots of the New York City Police Department are on the necks of the victims, it's been laced by the IDF, the shoes have been laced by the IDF. And I read an article about people who are living in his district that he said nothing after October 7th and encouraged the protests and its feeling of being unsafe and Jewish security, as much as he's promised, oh, I'm going to be good to the Jews. And they're voting for him. We are captive. We have adopted upon ourselves as American Jews an identity, a layer of identity that has preceded our Jewish identity. We are that World War I soldier sticking the bayonet into our fellow Jew because we have an Austrian uniform on or a Russian uniform on, and we don't have a Jewish uniform on. The captives in Gaza physically are free, but the Jewish captives to the culture of American politics are very much still in servitude. And so, where do we head? Where do we go from here? It doesn't get more crazy than that. 40%+ of Jews in New York, we'll see what the final toll will be after Tuesday, are voting for their enemy. They are so estranged from their fundamental concept of what it means to be Jewish and their Jewish identities that they're literally voting for the enemy. This guy is Haman. This guy is fill in the blank. And if he himself doesn't do it, he certainly will move the dial of what's expected and what is accepted, excuse me, in terms of anti-Semitism. And so, as so many of our Monday Motivation podcasts over the last 6 full years, beginning our 7th year, have focused on, we will focus on the message again. How do we reclaim our Jewish identities? How do we do it? Folks, we learn Torah. We fulfill mitzvahs. This is what it's all about. And if it's not all at once, a little bit more. We are going to have a virulent anti-Semitic mayor of the largest Jewish populations in the city outside of Israel. That's a wake-up call. That is the cold water wake-up. That is ice cubes poured over us in the morning. We have got to wake up. Hashem is sending a message. You're in captivity. How do you get out of captivity is you reclaim your identity. Your identity as Jews. And that identity as Jews is not as a socialist and not as a democratic socialist and not as a Republican and not as an anything. It's as a Jew. It's as a Jew who says Shema Yisrael. As a Jew who starts to eat more kosher food and turn their phone off on Shabbos. And declare to the world that we are Jews first. We are Jews first. And to the extent that either political party is going to help us, we will support you. And to the extent that you will not support us, is to the extent that we will not support you. Jews have adopted politics as their main vehicle for morality, and it's just not. Ve'ahavta l'reach kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. Saying a kind word and a beautiful smile is much more important to brighten someone's day than your political affiliation and screaming at the person who does not agree with you. We need to come back. We need to come back to get out of our captivity by saying that we're Jews first and everything else is a distant second. May God watch over us. May this not be the never again moment that we have feared. But may Hashem awaken the Jews who are slumbering, and may He open the eyes of those who are about to cast their lot with an enemy of the Jewish people. God willing, we will fight all of the darkness as we have for the last 2,000 years with hope, with light, with Torah, with mitzvahs, and with meaning, and with connection to the Almighty. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we look forward to seeing you for the continuation of our 7th season next week, right back here on Monday Motivation.